This is Focus West Michigan for Thursday, July 2, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. A community hub on Grand Rapids Southeast Side has cut the ribbon on a significant accessibility and structural improvement project. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us more about Genesis Suites.
My wife and I acquired this building in 2023. It checked off so many boxes for us of what we wanted in a space.
Dallas Lanier is co-owner of Genesis Suites, a community hub in the 1300 block of Alger Street Southeast on Grand Rapids Southeast Side. He says when he and his wife bought the 72-year-old building 3 years ago, it already had event space and offices for community outreach organizations.
The only thing that was missing from our standpoint was accessibility. The building was top-notch in terms of quality of construction, but it was built a long time ago, and so we wanted to add an elevator.
Partnering with Tenet, the Black Impact Collaborative, the two entities installed a new elevator, making the hub accessible to community members of all abilities. A grant awarded to BIC also financed accessible restrooms and expanded on the building's community gathering capabilities.
That was the nature of the grant. It was a community center grant, and so it allowed us to do the structural changes, but that was not an end of its own. That opened the door for us to be able to do more community center activities.
Genesis Suites is home to over 6 different community organizations. I'm David Limbaugh.
Sharks will be circling this year's Tech Week Grand Rapids. WGVU's Dee Morrison explains why the event's headliners are an important draw.
High-profile investors from the ABC TV show Shark Tank will co-headline this year's kickoff event for Tech Week Grand Rapids in September, a multi-day festival highlighting AI, medtech, manufacturing, and cybersecurity. Shark investors Damon John and Robert Herjavec will lead discussions on scaling businesses during a time of rapid technological change.
Tech Week, contrary to its name, is not just for techies. It really is for all of us in different fields, in different careers. Those of us who are starting businesses, it doesn't really matter. Tech is impacting nearly every industry.
Andrea Romkema is Senior Vice President of Business Development at The Right Place, which organizes Tech Week. She's banking on the popularity of the Sharks to break down the intimidation factor of tech and encourage everyday West Michigan residents to attend events.
We want to make Tech Week a space for people to come out, learn more, have their questions answered, get to experience some of the new technology, and we think that Damon and Robert will be a great kickoff to future conversations throughout the week.
Most of the more than 100 events are free and open to the public. Schedules and free registration are available at techweekgr.com. I'm Dee Morrison.
Kent County veterans seeking assistance applying for VA benefits now have a new veteran service officer to help them. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us about Austin Ramey.
U.S. Army veteran Austin Ramey joined the Army Reserve Officers Training Corps while attending Spring Arbor University. After graduating, he was commissioned by the U.S. Army as a field artillery officer before spending 7 years in the service.
I got out of the military in 2023 and was just looking for jobs that were aimed at helping people.
Now a fully accredited veteran service officer, the Michigan Veteran Affairs Agency has assigned Ramey to Kent County.
It seemed like a natural fit. It's like, oh, well, I'm a veteran and I'm generally familiar with the process, and it would give me an opportunity to meet with fellow veterans and their families to try to help them.
Ramey helps veterans, transitioning service members, and their dependents navigate federal, state, and local benefits. He hopes to help as many Kent County veterans as possible in his new role.
The VA is a big federal program, and there are a lot of things that can be applied to that. And so having someone who can help people navigate that is really helpful, even if it's just saying, hey, this is the appropriate person to talk to.
You can learn more online at michigan.gov/VSO. I'm David Limbaugh.
Law enforcement will be patrolling West Michigan waters this holiday weekend with zero tolerance for people boating under the influence. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The Allegan County Sheriff's Office Marine Division will join thousands of officers across the U.S. as part of Operation Dry Water, hitting local waterways this 4th of July weekend on the lookout for people operating boats under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Partnering with the U.S. Coast Guard, deputies will be out in full force from July 3rd through 5th, tracking down impaired operators with the goal of preventing boating accidents and fatalities over the busy holiday weekend. It is illegal to operate a boat while impaired on any body of water, but alcohol remains the number one cause of recreational boating deaths nationwide. Officers note the danger is equal for the boat operator, passengers, and people in the water. In Michigan, the legal blood alcohol limit is 0.08%, the same as for driving a car. Deputies urge boaters to stay sober and always wear life jackets when in or around water. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. The Michigan legislature meets again on Thursday to try to finalize a budget after missing Wednesday's deadline set in state law. We have more from Rick Pluta.
The delay leaves schools, community colleges, public universities, and many local governments unclear on their finances as they begin their budget years. A Senate negotiator says there were simply too many issues on the table, too late in the game to finish on time. Jennifer Smith with the Michigan Association of School Boards says there's no excuse for missing the legal deadline for 2 years in a row.
They had plenty of time to put together a thoughtful, responsible budget instead of bringing it right down to the wire and now blowing past their deadline.
The Republican-led House and the Democrat-controlled Senate hope to hold up or down votes on the two main budget bills and send them to the governor before leaving for the July 4th weekend. I'm Rick Pluta at the state capitol.
The Michigan House of Representatives voted to loosen the state's child labor laws on Wednesday. Colin Jackson reports that's as current law has pending requirements waiting to take effect.
The bill would get rid of both the current school-issued work permits and the state-issued permits set to go into place in October. Republican State Representative Mike Hoatley says the bill would cut red tape while keeping youth work protections in place.
House Bill 5727 reduces administrative burdens on families, schools, and small businesses.
But Democratic Representative Phil Skaggs, who sponsored the law to require state-issued work permits, accuses the bill of leaving teens' workplace safety to hope.
Hope is not oversight, and blind trust is not accountability. Our children deserve better.
The bill now goes to the Democratic-controlled Michigan Senate, which will probably resist the effort to undo the work permit law it passed last term. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Minions and Monsters is in theaters for the holiday weekend, continuing the animated comedy madness. Also, the historical drama Young Washington is opening. WGVU Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Rigetti from Studio C break it all down in our weekly movie talk.
And the summer blockbuster season continues with the animated film Minions and Monsters. And Zach, what are you hearing about Minions and Monsters, and have you had a chance to see it?
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet. I'm very excited to go and sit and watch this one. This is the third Minions film that's like a standalone Minions film in the franchise, but it's the seventh film in the Despicable Me universe. We had four Despicable Me movies, plus this is, again, three standalone Minions films. Rise of Gru was the last one in 2022, and that one was sort of stepped back from the universe and, you know, went to sort of almost like a prequel, if you will, when, you know, the Minions met Gru for the first time when he was a kid and trying to be this amazing supervillain. We're going to take even a further step back now in Minions and Monsters, and Gru isn't even going to be around. It's, you know, arguably 100 years ago when Hollywood was sort of just getting started and picking up, and the Minions find their way and find themselves in the middle of Hollywood production. They're learning how to make feature films. They're acting in feature films. They're on set for feature films. And in addition to that, they decide, you know, they want to make their own movie. And of course, what better movie to make than a monster flick? But the issue is that they realize that they need a monster for this monster movie. And so they attempt to summon a monster into the world. They get this amazing little green guy who's going to help them. And maybe not the monster they're looking for. But along the way, there will be some more monsters that sort of find their way into the world. And then now they'll sort of have to deal with the consequences of what they were trying to do and sort of save the world from what they've done. But I mean, these are the types of films. The Minions have found just such a special place, I feel like, in everyone's hearts who have come to love these movies. I was talking, I mean, this and like Mario from Universal. There's just like this, I don't know, the Minions they've sort of taken on culture in a way that is pretty incredible, to the point where it's like when Despicable Me 4 came out, you know, in 2022, like the Minions are the face of this franchise. Like all of the posters were just the Minions of this movie. So you've got that. I mean, there's some incredible stars in this movie as well. Trey Parker, Jesse Eisenberg, Zoe Dutch, Christopher Waltz is in this. Jeff Bridges is in it. Allison Janney. And then, of course, Pierre Coffin, who is the director, but he is also the incredible voice of all of the Minions. And so, you know, that's the, I think the other part of it too, is that they have their own language. You know, over the years through these films, he's sort of developed the language for them and, you know, what they sound like, how, you know, bellow is, you know, hello and things like that. And so, I don't know. Those are the pieces to this that I just enjoy and love. And I feel like I'm going to go in. I'm going to have an amazing time watching this. It's going to be fun, full of heart and comedy. It'll have some silly moments. But I think, you know, ultimately it'll be a great time.
Well, and then for every season there are big animated films. Is this, do you think, the big animated family picture for the summer?
Well, we had that a couple weeks ago, with Toy Story. That was the biggest Toy Story opening in Toy Story franchise history, and also the biggest movie of the year so far at $160 million. So Minions isn't going to hit that opening weekend, but it's a good thing to have. I mean, we have now Toy Story, we have Minions, you know, eventually, you know, next week we'll have Evil Dead Burn, which is sort of like a perfect counter programming to all of the like kids movies that are in theaters. So there's an aspect to this of like, it's, we've got a ton of movies and we've had a ton of movies in theaters now this year with the film slate and how good it's been, that it's, we've got a good mix for anybody.
It's funny that you mentioned Toy Story, because I hadn't thought about that, because Toy Story, I always think of, because of the way that they animate it with the imagery, is not like a cartoon in the way that the Minions films are.
Yeah, they're two different styles of animation, and there's some cool other styles of animation that we're going to have later this year that I'm also excited to talk about. And I think that's kind of the fun part, too, about animation and these films, is that you get a director's style, you get a studio style, and you sort of get, you know, like Pixar is known for, they've not only created and elevated with Toy Story sort of, you know, CGI motion graphic animation, but there's just each studio and director sort of holding on to a style that I've, you know, it's fun to see across different films.
We also have a historical film called Young Washington, and I've been seeing some of the previews for it, and makes it look very melodramatic. And what do you know about Young Washington?
Yeah, this is you know, coming from Angel Studios, which, again, they have, you know, they've sort of been this faith-based studio, but they are definitely, you know, diversifying the content they're putting on screen and having this sort of historical drama as part of that. And I mean, what a perfect weekend. You know, here we are, 250 years anniversary, celebrating July 4th weekend. Like, this is the perfect weekend for them to launch this movie. Yeah, Andy Serkis is in this. Sir Ben Kingsley's in this. Kelsey Grammer. It premiered at Tribeca. And as far as I have heard and read online, like, most people do love this movie. I think it's one of those things where you go and watch it, and I feel like I do this with any sort of historical film, where you sit down, you watch the film, and then you end up spending the next like 3 or 4 hours like doing all of the research into like, did that actually happen? Or like, what else, you know, do I not know that happened that, oh, I never thought of, you know, that actually being true or whatever. And so, I don't know, I think, you know, you learn more, you grow. And I think those are like some of the pieces that I love in watching sort of a historical drama like this. So William Franklin Miller is a new up and coming actor who's playing young Washington in this film. And, you know, it's sort of going to cover Washington, George Washington, from his young career all the way through sort of the start of the French and Indian Wars. So you've got that mix of balance of sort of him learning the ropes and then becoming sort of the general that he was. So there's pieces to this where you get a good historical drama. And I feel like as long as it delivers, you know, you're talking about melodrama, as long as it delivers, I feel like, in action while also, you know, maybe that drama part and what it means to be human, I think, you know, it'll be a good film.
All right. So now we have only about a little over 8 weeks, probably what you consider summer. And so we're way into the summer, but it's not that far yet until we get to the fall. So what are some of the big films that you're still looking forward to for the rest of the blockbuster season?
We've got some amazing films to talk about, Scott. You know, obviously Evil Dead Burn next week, which I know you love, with Moana, the live action film. And then it just feels like week after week, we get a new incredible movie. In a few weeks here, you and I can sit down and talk about something I'm very excited about, which is Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. I think that is, you know, one of those films that people are very, every time I have a conversation with someone, I feel like this movie gets brought up. And then following that, a few weeks later, we're going to have Spider-Man Brand New Day, which, you know, not only is Anne Hathaway having an incredible year in film, like Tom Holland is, Zendaya is, and both of them are in The Odyssey, both of them are in Spider-Man Brand New Day, Zendaya and Tom Holland. So there's pieces to that. I mean, that's where we're going. And then once we get into sort of the fall aspect, there's some really good movies. There's some really good directors that are coming. Ridley Scott's got The Dog Stars. And sort of we're going to slow down as we exit July, but there's going to be a lot of good stuff in the middle of that. And then once we get to October, November, December, we are going to ramp up, maybe even bigger than the summer blockbusters, depending on these films' success.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Thursday, July 2, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Monday. Thanks for listening.